It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, and engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
And welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Good stuff today. We're going to get started without delay for
the fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Good stuff, Scott. Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah, another pretty just nice, easy day. It wasn't a positive day on Friday. The Dow was down 71 points, NASDAQ up 11, S&P down 2. But those are those just sort of semi, you know, easy, no bumpy, no roller coaster days. Gold up 10 points again, continuing its rally since the Fed announcement. Oil basically flat, still inside of $100 a barrel, thankfully. So we're happy about that. Good handful of economic reports that we got today. One was good, one was not so great. U.S. GDP expanded at 2.8% annual rate for December. That was the best pace in 1.5 years, but below expectations.
What were they looking for?
3%.
Okay.
So a little bit below expectations. Not a terrible number. It's just showing that, you know, as we've talked about a number of times, the growth is just not coming fast enough.
What's been one of the higher, just to give people some perspective, you know, we always hear about these ridiculously high numbers from some of the emerging markets and how quickly they're growing. What are some of the numbers we've seen in the past for GDP for the United States?
Oh, I think for us, if we're in a 4 to 5% range, that's pretty robust.
Pretty healthy, because we're so big.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
We're starting with such a bigger base than most of those other countries. Also got a consumer sentiment index number today, 11-month high, climbing to 75. That's a diffusion index, so the higher above 50 it is, the more positive it is.
Okay, so what was the number?
75.
And 50 is?
50 is neutral.
Okay, so 75 is very positive.
It's pretty good, up from December's reading of 69.9.
All right, that's good. That's encouraging.
Yep, so that's good. In Europe, they have been saying this for 2 weeks now, but they are one step away from the debt swap deal in Greece.
Yeah, you know, we've got that ready to go. We'll have the papers for you to sign any day now.
Yep, any old day. But they got to get going. And even the finance ministers in Europe are saying, we really have to have this done by the end of January in order for us to get the money to make the March payment. So, tick-tock.
So this is money going to Greece.
This is money going to Greece for them to pay their bondholders.
Okay, so this doesn't have anything to do with the whole orderly default.
Well, it does, because if they don't get the money, it's a disorderly default.
So there's part of the deal is getting the concession from the private bondholders.
That's exactly right.
Do we have an idea of what kind of haircut they're going to take now?
Well, no. I mean, there's
50
still
to 70.
They're still 50 to 70, and I heard it today termed as a decapitation, not a haircut.
Oh my gosh!
So that's.
I was going to say maybe they just use a larger bowl, but
yeah, that's kind of strong language. In a move that nobody cared about at all, Fitch downgraded the credit ratings of Italy, Spain, Belgium, Cyprus, and Slovenia this afternoon.
Rating agencies, at least some of them, got to be feeling pretty irrelevant right now.
Yeah, nobody cared.
Nobody cares anymore.
The market barely blinked.
Doesn't that feel good, rating agencies, that nobody's showing you love?
Yep, the market barely blinked. Bunch of earnings in Friday's market. Ford posted lower than expected earnings, disappointing overseas results and rising commodity costs. But they said they're expecting big things overseas next year, meaning 2012. Procter & Gamble posted a horrific number. Profit plunged 49%. Profit did. and they lowered future guidance. And then I know you want to talk about Starbucks later on. Starbucks reported quarterly profit ahead of expectations. Okay, good profit number today. They are worried about Europe, and they said that in their earnings announcement. And they are also going to expand their idea of selling beer and wine in certain stores.
Well, so they got beer and wine coming. They've already got the juices. And
that's
now,
right. They bought the juice company.
It's going to be whatever liquid refreshment, adult or otherwise, you might need.
Pretty much.
Whether it's got you going in the morning or getting you relaxed in the evening, they're going to have you covered.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think they'll sell as much beer and wine through the drive-thru as they do coffee.
They might, but boy, can you imagine the disclaimer? You got to put your thumbprint up there when you get your drink. Well, you know, it's funny. There was a report out from Reuters. They had talked about just a lot of these all kinds of studies out there, and we all hear about them all the time, about how much people spend on this and that. But people spend a lot of money on that venti latte.
Yeah, a lot of money on coffee, lunch, stuff like that. I saw that same report.
I mean, it adds up to like, let's see, on average, workers are spending $37 per week for lunch. Men, of course, because we're hogs, okay, we're pigs, we like to eat. Men spend more than $47 a week. Versus women getting by on 27. These are just averages.
That's lunch you're talking about.
Yeah, and men pay a lot more for coffee. 26,
I quit going out to lunch.
$26 a week. Well, you know what? We had an opportunity the other day to have just a little lunch in the executive boardroom.
It's such
that
a waste
nice.
Of money. Plus, you can't stay healthy. But coffee, $26 a week is typical for coffee spending. $1,000 a year on coffee.
Well, we got a coffee pot up front.
We have two of them.
Wow.
It's
luxurious. Well, hey, look, only the best for you, Scott. I want to keep you sufficiently caffeinated to manage those portfolios, okay?
All right,
your peas.
Yeah, you know the five top things that Americans waste their money on are buying new when used would do, cars and things like that.
That's so true.
Failing to negotiate, I'm guilty of that. My wife's a good negotiator.
Is she?
Yeah, buying name brands when generics will do. Buying more house than you need. We saw the pitfalls in that. And last but not least, paying interest. Are the top five places Americans waste money.
Well, and you know, leading the example is our U.S. government, where we are spending just half a trillion dollars a year on interest. That can you imagine if we didn't have any debt?
Yeah, but I'm sure you saw this in the GDP number that we talked about, which was slower. But one of the places that GDP actually shrank, and the place that it shrank the most, was government spending.
Do we have a button we can push, Lisa, that's like applause? We're going to work on that for
Yay!
You, ladies and gentlemen. Yay! A big clapping.
Government spending fell 4.6% in the fourth
Amen.
Quarter. Mandatory cuts are really what pushed that down.
Yeah, because you know no congressman voted for that. I voted for the spending before I voted against it.
Yeah, I think quite a bit of that came from the, remember the debt ceiling negotiations and they had the mandatory
cuts. The only
cuts.
Way they can make cuts is to have them automatic.
Yeah. That way nobody's personally responsible.
Right. I didn't want to do it. I never did that. I didn't want to do it.
And the other side of that, on the other side of that number on the GDP, consumer spending, which accounts for more than 2/3 of the demand in the economy, rose 2% in the fourth quarter. So, I mean,
look, it's not as miserable as it was. I mean, there's still plenty of people looking for a job, plenty of people that are hurt, that are struggling out there. But it's not as bad. We are not going into this dark abyss that we were on at one point.
And we might have got that 3% number if the government hadn't cut back.
Well, I will take a lower GDP if the government cuts back. All right. Can live with that. 5-second warning says we're out to the break. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
It is time to break it down, and there's more to break down on the finances, but I cannot contain myself any longer. You know, all this talk about taxes and who's paying them and the millionaires need to pay more money, and of course that's being championed by Mr. Warren Buffett. And it occurred to me, and I have been busting at the seams to share this with you, ladies and gentlemen, is it occurred to me to take a look at the number of billionaires in the United States. So when I did my search, and Wikipedia is such a great resource, I go there and I find a lot of interesting stuff. There are only, but surprisingly, 413 billionaires in the United States. I'm going to be busting my B's now, not just popping my P's. So I'm going to bust my B out here. So number of U.S. billionaires, 413. Their combined net worth is $1.5 trillion. That means that their average net worth is a little over $3.5 billion.
That's remarkable.
$3.6 billion. Now, here's my thinking. Let's just say that they make, on average, conservatively, on that kind of money, they're getting good rates, they're getting good deals, they're shoveling that big money around, and let's just say they're making an average of 7.
All right.
Okay, I think that's reasonable because there's a lot of entrepreneurial returns in there. That means that their individual earnings on an annual basis, you'll love this, Scott, individual earnings on an annual basis for these billionaires is $250 million.
That's a lot. That's A-Rod money.
Well, no, what that is you could buy a Romney every year.
Oh, that's
okay?
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
You can buy a Romney. You can get yourself your own very own Romney every year. That's his, allegedly, Mitt Romney's net worth. So these billionaires can each buy a Romney once a year. Now, the total earnings for the group was like $105 billion. So here's my thinking. We need a new tax. So write this down or make this note, ladies and gentlemen. I'm actually going to vote in favor of a tax. And my tax is, I'm going to call it, you know, instead of the millionaire tax, we're going to, the Buffett rule, that's what they want to call it, is the Buffett rule for millionaires. I'm going to call it the Fuss Budget Billionaire Tax. So if you're a billionaire and you're making 250 million bucks a year, I think that, I'm thinking 50% of that. I'm thinking there should be a 50% tax on billionaires. How's that sound? Now here, I know that sounds a little, I don't know, harsh, but hey, look, they've got $1 billion. Most of these guys have ladies, I'm sure, $3.5 million.
Yeah, that really should not eat into their network.
Well, it won't eat into their network. It's just going to slow the accretion. So it might mean that they only add, hey, you're only going to add $125 million this year to your net worth. Can you squeak by? Help us out. We need to run this government. We need to work on this debt. So if they do that, that would result in $52 billion, another B, in annual revenue that's added to our country's coffers. So $52 billion to pay more taxes or to spend on something that we want to spend on as a government. And that would fund the government for about 8 days.
8 days.
Yeah, you can pick which 8 days if you like.
All right, middle of summer somewhere. I'll take the middle of summer.
I just thought that was kind of a fun look at the whole tax nonsense thing.
Well, surely Mr. Buffett will be on board and he can get Mr. Gates on board. So you're part
way
there.
That's just one phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he'll have any objection because he's already said that he thinks that he's paying way too little. And I think every billionaire, there's only 400 of them. We can find them pretty quickly and send them a little note in the mail and say, you know, we need 50% tax on your earnings.
Yeah, they should be easy to find.
No problem. So that's what's going on with the Fuss Budget Billionaire Tax. You heard it here, folks, ladies and gentlemen. Now, back to some other stuff that needs to be broken down. Where do you want to go, Scott? You want to talk about the UK? They've got a little bit of an issue with the risk of recession.
Yeah, there are a lot of analysts think they're already in recession.
They already have one down quarter, right?
Yeah, it contracted by 0.2% fourth quarter of 2011. That put them on an annual growth pace of 0.9%. That is less than robust.
Well, let's see what are they doing with their what's their stock market doing? I'm taking a quick look and I'm not seeing it fast here. What's their market been doing? Oh, here it is. They're up 4% year to date.
Yeah,
that's not bad. But you know what though? A lot of the other European countries, Germany's up 11% year to date.
Yeah, Germany's definitely the all star.
They're
over
on
there.
Fire. Italy, I can't believe this. Italy is up almost 7% year to date.
Yeah.
Their stock market.
Well,
now,
they're doing a good job of implementing their so-called austerity. They're doing it, actually collecting taxes and following through on the pledges they've made.
It's pretty good.
It's different.
It's pretty good. It's remarkable. So it can be done.
It can be done. Yeah.
That's impressive. Well, I'm pleased to see it. Now, to keep this in mind, some perspective here, we don't want to forget that all of these stock markets indices for these foreign places and international, they were all beaten down big time in 2011. Some of them were off 20%. So when we talk about them being on fire or growing, we have to also keep in mind that They're digging out of a hole.
Right.
Just as we still are.
Yeah. Well, I think that UK recession story is going to be interesting to watch. You know, they did have a couple of things. Even though they had shrinking in the fourth quarter, they had a big strike on November 30th. So they lost about a million working days if you add up all the working days. And then they also had a very mild winter, which means that utility output was quite a bit lower than normal. So, you know, I like to look behind the number that is the number. And so there's a couple of things there that made an impact on that number.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. What about the what ifs? You know, one of the things that we were talking about, we've been kind of hitting the what if this happens, what if that happens. Did we talk about China? What if their economy really starts heating up?
We have not hit China.
All right. Want to hit China for a few minutes here before we go to another break?
Yeah, China. I mean, if the Chinese economy is really, really, really important globally, you know, because of their export and because of their massive growth and all that.
Well,
kind of
and
stuff.
They are just a huge, hungry dragon, not tiger, but a huge, hungry dragon, eating as much as they can because they're building all this infrastructure and they need copper, iron, coal, all kinds of natural resources.
Yeah, and those types of things really have a tendency to lead markets too. So markets watch copper, for example. When we see copper prices go up, that's right, Dr. Copper, then we know that there's demand and there's growth and there's robustness in economies globally. So if they continue to buy, I think that's a good leading indicator. But if we see those prices plunge and that economy really kind of shut down, it's going to be a problem.
So a lot of what we see with these commodities isn't necessarily the supply wavering. It's a lot more to do with demand.
Yeah,
the supply is fairly constant.
Yeah, I would say that's right.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about 7 easy ways to mess up your retirement.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 15 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526. There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, very good. Let's get to it. 7 easy ways, ladies and gentlemen, to mess up your retirement. Consumer Reports has an announcement, I guess, about some of the different things that they've seen or they're reporting on. And I've done my own homework over the last 20 years, 18 or so years, working with clients in the financial area about their planning and their retirement. And what I have seen, I have put together as basically the seven deadly sins of retirement planning is what I call it. The folks at Consumer Reports calls it the 7 easy ways to mess up your retirement. I think mine's a little more provocative and interesting, but that's my opinion. So let's talk about some of them because I think it's real important. We all work very hard to try to build toward retirement. And the last thing you want to do is mess it up because there's things that we can control and there are things that we can't control. So the things that we can control, we need to make sure we get them right. So the first thing that we absolutely have to do, and this is where I and Consumer Reports definitely agree, is you got to have a plan. I know you've heard it, and you know what, though? You're going to hear it again. I'm going to talk about that. It's so important, and especially, it's not just saying, okay, I'm ready to retire. Here's what I've got. What do I do? It's important, and I do that all the time with people, but I really like when people come in 3 years, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years out and plan ahead. Because you can do so much by having that. It's a lot like being on a boat out in the ocean. I remember when I was young, I'm trying to think of exactly how old I was, a buddy of mine, he and I went out in his 17-foot Boston Whaler, And we went out and we followed one of the big ships out that take the party boats out or whatever you call them. And we were going to go out and fish by them. And we went out like 50 miles in a 17-foot boat. Not the smartest thing to do, but, you know, young and invincible, right? We were coming back and, you know, we were a little off on our heading. And because we didn't really realize it, we ended up like 10 miles north of where we should have been to go back in the inlet. And I tell you that story because it's a real good indication of being on the right path, the right trajectory when it comes to your retirement. When you do something like that, if you can plan ahead, if we had stopped and adjusted our compass, which we did a couple times, but if we'd done a better job, we wouldn't have ended up so far off course. Same thing with your retirement. You've got to do this adjusting and planning ahead 5-10 years out, or at least before you get there, because you can correct quicker and easier than having to make a huge change or finding out, okay, I'm ready to retire. You meet with a planner who gives you a good, solid investment analysis and builds a plan for you, and you find out, oops, I can't retire. It's not enough. So before you tell the boss what you really think of them, make sure that you have got a financial plan that's going to hold water, even if things don't go well, even if you have some rough seas, even if there is that perfect storm, that you don't end up in the wrong place. So the planning ahead is very important. You also got to have backup plans. I call it plan B, C, D, E. Whenever I put a plan together for somebody, I just was talking to one of my clients yesterday about this, and we were talking about changing their investments, and they were about, one of them was rolling some money out of a 401k, and we had built a plan that basically gave them a fallback position in case things did not go the way we expected them to. Even if we are basing our plan on some conservative investments and projections, in other words, we're not depending on high returns, things can still go wrong. Now, the other thing I find very often is that people don't know what they got. What do I got? You got to really look and make sure you know what you have and how it's doing. 19-point inspections, what I call it, have your accounts reviewed, get a second opinion, no different than going to a doctor. If you're not sure of your whatever's going on with a medical professional, what do? You get a second opinion. Same thing with your finances. Now, the other thing that I think is very interesting that people sometimes have a hard time with is dealing with risk. I don't like the idea of somebody just saying, okay, that's it. I'm just going to put it all in the market and let it ride. Or the opposite approach, which is to say, I'm going to go ultra conservative and put everything in CDs. You got to have a lot of money to be able to get away with that because you've got to have some growth to fight inflation. We've been talking about on the show about where 5-year CDs are, and a lot of people are very aware of this. Wasn't that long ago, they were 5%. Now they're between 1.2 to 1.5%, not a high return. And if inflation is between 3 to 4% historically, and it's around 3 to 4 now, depending on what you're looking at, you're guaranteed to lose money if you put your money into a CD for the next 5 years. What? I'm going to lose money? How am I going to lose money? If you're getting paid 1.5% interest, and if inflation is 3.5%, you're losing 2% purchasing power. If you had $100,000, it's like having $98,000 in your account in terms of what it can buy. Now, here's another one that a lot of people miss. Ignoring what things cost. If you don't know what you're paying for your investments, you might be paying a lot more than you think you are. We would never accept this in other parts of our life. When's the last time you dropped your car off and said, at the dealership, okay, just fix it. Whatever it is, fix it. What are you going to get before you leave there and give them your keys? What are you going to do or expect from them before you let them do the work? You all know. An estimate, right? Preferably in writing. Same thing with your investments. If you're listening to me and you don't know what you're paying in fees and it's not been explained to you very clearly, it might be more than you think it is. And I've seen people be very surprised when I've done an analysis and I've stripped down their mutual funds and annuities and other things that they have, and I figure out what they're really paying. Sometimes it's a lot more than they think it is. And then one of the other things that we want to talk about here in terms of how to mess up your retirement is counting on your equity in your home to be kind of your retirement plan. That assumes a big if of home prices being higher or that home prices won't go down in the future, or that you can get out of a home and get into something else. So be careful with expecting that. May want to use a reverse mortgage. Might be right, might not be, but you need to not be dependent just on your home. All right, want to take another short break, come back. We're going to talk about, in our warning segment, about Ponzi schemes alive and well and what to look out for.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526. The seven deadly sins of retirement planning are a reality, not a myth. Are you committing any of the sins? Are you wasting money on investments with high fees? Are you prepared for high inflation? The next stock market drop? Call Holland Financial to receive a free DVD on the seven deadly sins of retirement planning. Certified financial planner David Holland identifies some of the most common mistakes he has seen retirees make and how to avoid them. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526. Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon? Or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That's 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Boy, is it ever. You know, I wanted to take a quick update to see what was going on. I like to go to the websites that the regulators have to see what's happening with their persecution and prosecution of Ponzi schemes and all these the scammers and what they're up to. And I'm very glad to see continued robust enforcement of these folks that are doing bad things. And so I took a quick look, and there were 15 Ponzi schemes listed on the Securities and Exchange website that I wanted just to kind of throw a couple things at you about it. SEC.gov, not Southeastern Conference. We're not talking football. We're talking the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is all about handling the financial football. So there were, like I said, 15 of these things. And what I want to point out to you as I went through and looked at them, and they're all in a whole bunch of different size frauds and scams that occurred. A lot of these are Ponzi schemes where they play games and they pretend that they've got this investment or whatever it is, and they take in new money and they use that to pay old investors. And then they basically, they take all the money from the original investors or people put their money in early and they spend it. They use it for something else. And then they use the new money to pay the older investors what it looks like a return, and it's not really a return on the original investment because that money's gone. And these things are being done by hedge fund managers. Here's one that really struck me. It was really almost funny. It's not funny, but it almost is, that there was the SEC halted a Ponzi scheme that took in $26 million from investors. Now, I know that doesn't sound a lot when you compare it to Bernie Madoff's $50 billion scam. But the folks that got suckered on that and took in and taken advantage of on this $26 million deal, they were promised very rich returns on, listen to this, water filtering natural stone pavers. And then here's another one where it was on payday loans. And the list goes on and on. There's three hideouts: banks, brokerage firms, and what's the other one? Let me think. Banks, brokerage firms, and insurance companies. I knew there was three. Three hideouts from the scammers. Be careful and put your money with places that have high security protocols. And if it sounds too good to be true, it is. Be careful, and I'll look forward to talking with you another day.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.